Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us here this week on Catholic Sports View. We're going to head out to Santa Margarita High School and focus on the girls' basketball program this week. We'll talk with their head coach, Craig DeBusk, and one of their star players, Bella Maramica. Then later on in the show, we will focus on J. Sarah Girls Water Polo and their new head coach out there, and that's Celine Rigo. Kicking off our show this week, special from Santa Margarita High School as we focus on the girls' basketball program, is the head coach, Craig DeBusk. Coach, thanks for taking a couple minutes.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start off a little bit with your background, kind of your journey to get here. Everyone knows the DeBusk name, who's followed high school sports in Orange County, certainly, over the past couple of decades. Your father, Jerry, was the longtime coach here at Santa Margarita of the boys program. I imagine your interest in basketball started pretty young.
Yeah, I think it's... You know, as soon as I could walk, I was thrown in the fire there. And when he was at Newport Harbor, I was on the bench as a ball boy. And that carried on, sitting on the bench watching his games. And then ultimately, I ended up going to Newport Harbor and playing for him. You know, after that, I was done. I was still encouraged to continue my basketball career. And I found myself back, you know, helping him and assisting him back in, I think that started in 96.
Were you a gym rat kind of a kid?
Yeah, you know, I probably should have been a little bit more of a gym rat because I probably would end up playing a little bit longer in college. But I tried. I tried to be as, stayed in as much as possible. But I had some good people looking out for me, and I always, I couldn't fake it. So when you play for him, play for my dad, and then you come home and have to hear it at the dinner table, right. It was, you couldn't escape it too long, man. But I liked it. I loved it, so.
I had the privilege of covering that area in Newport Harbor for several years. And, you know, one of the hallmarks there at Newport is the coaches stay a long time at Newport. I mean, coaches like that challenge and staying there. Eventually, your dad would move on to Santa Margarita and this challenge over here, brand new high school at the time. Was there any kind of insight in it that it was a tough move for him to come over here?
Actually, he had one prior stop before coming here. He was at Chapman University as an assistant for Bob Boyd.
Bob Boyd, yeah. Okay.
And so he was there for 3 years. And actually, he left my senior year, and Bob Servin, who was a longtime Costa Mesa, or, you know, at the time, he was our assistant coach. He took over for my dad and then went to Costa Mesa and then was an assistant at Modern Day. But I ended up playing for Bob my senior year because my dad got the assistant job over at Chapman. And then went, I think, for 3 years. They were okay, and then they kind of hit a brick wall, and Bob was out. And then he basically didn't get the head job over at Chapman. And they dropped the program down to like D3 or something at that time. It was right. Division II. And he was looking and trying to figure out where we're going. He landed here, and thank God, I mean, he did because, you know, for 23 years, he averaged about 25 wins a season here. So, yeah, did a pretty good job here as one of the winningest coaches to come out of here, obviously.
Was it a natural for you to follow into coaching, or did you have other ideas maybe in the beginning?
No, you know, the whole aspect of teaching and coaching, I think I really got that. You know, my dad's obviously teacher coach. My sister ended up being a teacher and coached volleyball, and she was a very good volleyball player. So it was in the blood, and just, you know, I really didn't know anything else that I wanted to do. So as soon as I got out of that playing and then ultimately, graduating college, I kind of knew that I kind of wanted to go back. And I started at the lower level, freshman here, and just did that, you know, lower level gold team. And then ultimately, he said, you know, my dad said, hey, come up, you know, to the varsity and start the journey. So that was 98 with the state team with Carson Palmer and everything like that. So it started off with a good
right.
kick. So I got to stay around. And after 12, you know, about 12 years, then it all came, you know, and I needed a little break after that. But it was a good run. It was a good run with the boys. So I enjoyed every part of it.
We're visiting Santa Margarita High School and the girls' basketball program. Head coach Craig DeBusk, kind enough to give us a few minutes here right before practice. We're going to get him going into practice here in a little bit. But wanted to ask you about your relationship, you know, with your dad. And is it an advantage? I would imagine it has to be an advantage to have grown up with a great coach like that in the home. But as you start to develop your own style as a coach, were you pulling from him and from maybe other coaches that you played for?
Absolutely. I think that's just where you come from, what your stable, as we call it, in the horse racing industry. You don't venture too far off out of your stable, and he's been an instrumental part in my thinking and in my reacting, just not game management, but X's and O's, and I still go to him. I think about a week ago, I said, I shot him a text and say, what do you think I should do to play this pick and roll? But right out of the chute, he's very supportive, and we sat down prior to getting this job, and we hashed out all the old things that we took from back in the 12-year run that we had together, and I pulled all different spots. But ultimately, the success, you've got to get in there and make it your own, and I couldn't ask for any better person to shape where I came from, what I've been, you know, doing, and yeah, I fall back on all that stuff. So it really prepares me going into games and leagues and stuff like that.
You mentioned, you know, the Carson Palmer year 98. 10 years later, you'd have another run with another great player in Clay Thompson. We'll talk about him in just a minute. But the caliber of athlete that comes to Santa Margarita, that obviously has to help, because you know you're getting, some of the best athletes, not just in South County, but all of Orange County, that they want to come here and play the various sports, and especially basketball here.
Yeah, we've been fortunate to have so many good athletes to come through. But I think what my dad's done here, especially with basketball, we have such good, well-rounded individuals. They went on to play, and they were successful. And they were, maybe not all of them ended up playing all 4 years, but they graduated. They were just, you know, the ones that played a little bit to the ones that, you know, are in the NBA. The one thing about what my dad was all about was get the most out of talent. And I think he really did that. Some years we weren't the most talented, but we found ways to win those games. When we were able to get, you know, and have a little bit more talent come through, and those guys that you mentioned, then it was just, you know, we took it to a whole nother level. And the Clays and the Jaime Cernas and the Jason Pankos and the Ryan Forehand Kellys and the James Keefs of the world, you know, those guys don't come too often. But when they do, they just take you to a whole nother level. But the greatest thing, I think the achievement that my dad was, is there was just never, we played to our full potential every year. Whatever talent he can get out of them, he ultimately did.
Craig DeBusk, head girls basketball coach at Santa Margarita High School, our guest this week on Catholic Sports View. And you had a chance to go to memory lane a little bit. Clay's number got retired just a little bit ago here at Santa Margarita. That had to be a good chance to catch up, not only with him, but a lot of the other members of that team.
Yeah, it was a special moment for all of us.
State championship team, I should
add. State championship team, yeah, that was a great ride. And, you know, that was my part in all of this. The school did an amazing job with the whole presentation and being able to honor him and do everything and just make it such a high-class presentation and formation of just things that happened and events that happened. But my job was just to kind of get everybody back together and the contacts and make sure that, you know, he had just as much fun being here. And he's not a guy that really wants that limelight, and he doesn't really care about the big, you know, show presentation and stuff like that. But he really was blown away by everybody who came back, supportive, and you know, we got to spend some time together and stuff like that. And he just said what a blast he had. I mean, he really said great times. I had such an amazing time when I was down here. So that to me is worth all of it right there, is that he enjoyed himself and got himself went back to memory lane a little bit while he was here.
I think one thing I noticed too about this school is that it attracts good families. I mean, we can talk about Clay Thompson, but it's the Thompson family that's a really good family unit that knows how to do things the right way, even though they're a high profile family. But families come here and want to be a part of it, and siblings will follow siblings, and it seems like there's always a tradition here at Santa Margarita.
Yeah, this place is great. I mean, it's once you get immersed in it and once you get involved in it, there's no other place like it. I mean, it really is. There's the Catholic community, the family community, just you feel it. You feel everything walking in the halls to the people that are your colleagues and your coaches, staff and players. And ultimately, and that's, I think, wanted to build upon even more when they left, that we continue to keep those connections, and we do a good job of ultimately making sure that they're always welcome back here. And you can see that, you know, and with Andy Sulik, our new president, kind of on his third year and getting this thing really more out in the forefront of welcoming everybody back to Santa Margarita is really shown, and people are taking advantage of that. So it's really nice to see.
You lead me into my next question. That's the fact that, you know, this is a Catholic school. You know, how important is it that there's that Catholic foundation here for the staff and the students and everybody involved?
We go to team mass about three times during our year. So that is a team mass that we do together. But then we also obviously have all school mass and things. And so on game days, you know, we're represented by our team, you know, have our identifiable gear on. And but the community, everybody, you know, reaches out, whether it's ETV and the studio just showing support or anything like that. But the faith part of it, the faith community, like I said, it's kind of separates. We do a lot of things together, team meals. You know, other schools do that, but we try to emphasize that religion part of it.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports View. And when we come back, we'll have more with head coach Craig DeBusk at Santa Margarita High School. Stay with us.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission of your Catholic Man of the Year nominees is rapidly approaching on March 1st. As a nominee from my parish, I can honestly say that at first I was reluctant to accept such an honor because, of course, my purpose in supporting the parish through the ministry was not to receive personal credit. But you know, I could not have been more mistaken in my initial reaction. The event in 2016 was an exciting and thoroughly affirming celebration of the Catholic lay ministry. It was so inspiring to see other men and their deep love of the church, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st, and all nominees will be recognized at the dinner. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's www.occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. And joining us this week is the head girls basketball coach at Santa Margarita High School, and that's Craig DeBusk. Coach, we talked about your time with the boys program and coaching under your father. At some point, did you know it was the right time to take a head coaching job, and did you know it was going to happen here at Santa Margarita?
Yeah, you know, I needed a break. I have a 7-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son, and I needed that time. As a son of a coach, I know the demands. And I didn't want to have that situation happen while I was trying to juggle the, even as an assistant to my dad, it didn't feel like an assistant job. I felt like I was doing a lot of things as well, but I needed that time to just kind of get away a little bit. So I took 5 years off and I still taught at the school, but I was able to just kind of clear my head and get myself back. And I started to feel the itch to get back into the coaching, and I just didn't know where that would be. And if it was, I would have to leave here. And that really didn't interest me. So I was thinking about maybe coming on as back on as an assistant, you know, to Jeff Reinert. And we had talked, and he said, whenever you're ready. And then I just kept on. I said, I don't want to go back as an assistant. So this job opened up. And it must have been the right time because I said, well, I've never coached the girls' side before. So there was a little bit of a learning curve. But for now, I'm really happy, and I love being a head coach. And I couldn't be more happier than to be here and not have to move or go anywhere else.
I would imagine the differences in some ways are pretty obvious, you know, boys' personalities maybe versus the personality of girls. But in the end, is basketball still basketball?
Absolutely. And that was the first thing that I noticed that, you know, about my dealings with just coming out here. It's just basketball. They're athletes and everybody's athletes. And there was nothing, you know, much different than what I experienced with the boys. There's more things that girls, you know, tend to not let go of as boys can let go of. So there's a little bit more things that you've got to deal in the mental department just on keeping them more engaged in things, you know. But on the other hand, as far as, you know, soaking in the information, I would say, you know, that they're, what do you want me to do? They're all in all the time, and it's just been a joy to coach. So the changeover hasn't even, to me, it didn't skip a beat. I really mean that. It was really nice to see.
Craig DeBusk, the head girls basketball coach at Santa Margarita, joining us here on Catholic Sports View. As you look at it, I think the girls come in more fundamentally sound sometimes than the boys do. I mean, is that a good foundation from which to base it on, especially when you talk about the lower levels and the girls kind of getting used to playing high school basketball?
Yeah, and I think that's the ultimately, as a coach, and I don't care if it's boys or girls, but fundamentals are the key component in basics. And sometimes some people have where they've been and, you know, as a younger player and what they've done as a younger player. Sometimes they come in with more fundamentals than others. But, yeah, I mean, they soak it all in, and they're going to, you know, you're going to tell them something. They're going to work on it, you know, day and night. And maybe you don't get that if someone's a little bit more athletic and, you know, kind of have that know-it-all kind of attitude. But I really think it's just, I think it depends on the type of kid anywhere, male or female or boy or girl, their fundamentals are that's where we're going to start with first. I mean, that's what we warm up with every day. That's what we get, you know, going every day. So if we don't have the fundamentals, it's hard to play the rest of the game.
Your third year, correct? Yeah. Us here in the midst of that here, coaching the girls, as much fun as it was coaching boys?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's just a different dynamic. I get to hopefully create that fun and be the guy that, you know, is the ultimate, hey, when do we back off? When do we need to go push harder? Where are we going on trips? Are we going there? And it's more of a, you know, I get to be making those decisions. Whereas, you know, as an assistant, I was always told what to do and when we're going to do it. And if it didn't jive, then you just got to roll with it. But so that aspect, to be able to have my footprint in everything that we're doing and surround myself with great coaches and then build the program, that's the fun part. Building the program and building and teaching is ultimately the fun part of this.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because it certainly helps that you've had success, you know, right away here. But being an assistant for so long, you knew what you were looking for in a good assistant coach, right?
That's right. You know, that's helped me too, is building the staff. We've progressed in our staff development, and Coach Bricker, who was the one-time coach here, he was the head coach here, and he's an on-campus teacher. And now we've gotten Annie Mai Garrett, who played at Santa Margarita and then went on to play at UCI and then was the women's assistant coach at UCI. And she's my assistant as well. And then we got a couple coaches from UCI as well. And our freshman coach was the point guard at UCI last year. So Annie's really helped develop that strength, and she's a strong female voice that you, as a male coach, you need. She's just taken us to a whole nother level. And then I think that's the part of it, you know, to enjoy the journey, but to also enjoy the people that you want to work and develop and get the right people here.
Obviously, coaching in the Trinity League, first on the boys' side, you got to see some of the other great coaches around the Trinity. Now we know how many great coaches there are on the girls' side, too. Is it fun to kind of match up with a new set of coaches as well?
It is. I mean, I knew some of the coaches prior from just being over there with the boys, Kevin Kiernan and Tom Howard, and, you know, those guys are, they've been, you know, I first called them right out of the chute when I first got the job and just, you know, introduced myself again and asked them questions about, you know, certain dynamics, and they were just more than willing to help. And, you know, here's my number, anything, you know, just let me know. So the coaching, you know, dynamics of it all, I mean, ultimately everybody's, the competition's great, the winning, you know, you want, but ultimately, I mean, these guys are all in it for the same reason, and they love doing it, they love teaching kids, they love coaching, and they're going to be very supportive of you, you know. Maybe not when you're playing them, and maybe I'm not either, but down, you know, as you get down to it, we're all in this together, and we want each other to succeed. So
we know how good Mater Dei is. They seem to be on another planet at times for what they've accomplished in the last several years. But, you know, Rosary's got a solid program, championships in the past. Jay Sarah, Coach Rosignol's, you know, built a pretty good program. It's not for the faint of heart here in the Trinity.
No, it's the best league in the entire nation, I think, and it's, you know, top to bottom. I don't care what sport you're even talking about, but, you know, girls basketball is no different than anything else in this league, because there's not a night off. These coaches know how to coach. They're going to scout you. They're going to break you down and know your tendencies. They're very good coaches. Like I said, there's no nights off in this league. We're 1-2 in this league, and we've got to go to Rosary Tuesday night and try to get a win there, which is not going to be easy, but We played modern day tough. We were, you know, at 6 points at halftime and about 6 points going into the fourth quarter. And we just needed a couple more baskets, to kind of get there a little bit closer. But, you know, our girls played, you know, hard as they could, and we're getting there. But again, you got to bring your A game every single night in this league.
It's so true. It's unique. You know, schools like Modern Day and Santa Margarita and Jay Serra, students choose to come here. You know, it's a private education. You know, students pay to come to school here. But how important is it for you to be down in the lower level programs, the junior programs, you know, around this area to talk with athletes and maybe get them interested in being future Eagles?
Well, absolutely. The one thing that I wanted to first develop was our lower levels. And it wasn't very strong here when I got the job. It was more top heavy, and you've got to be able to create that with, you know, from the bottom up. And right now our JV team is doing very well. They're second in league right now. I think they've got about 16 or 17 wins. I've got three girls that I kind of platoon a little bit when they're not playing on the JV level. They're playing up with us, and I took them to Vegas. And we've got some young talent with Jocelyn Ewell, who's a freshman, 6'3" freshman. And just, continue to get good, coaches at that level. But the whole thing about trying to make sure that you have good fundamentals coming in, you pretty much have to kind of create that at the lower levels as well, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, yeah. and try to, get them. And we've created a RSM Splash club that really is going to try to be our feeder club to Santa Margarita. That's something that we're going to, we kicked off last year as a 15 and under team and did pretty well. And our goal this year is, as we hit into spring and summer, is to have a 17, U elite team and a 15U and then a 7th and 8th grade team, because I ultimately want to try to get whoever's going to come through here as much fundamentals and playing together as much as often as they can. And that's really how to do it these days, is to try to have some kind of feeder program into your program.
Closing moments here with Craig DeBusk at Santa Margarita High School. Your father spent 30 years here at Santa Margarita. You looking to make that kind of a commitment yourself with this head coaching gig?
Well, I've already been here as far as teaching about 17 years,
right.
So I don't think I'm too far off. The coaching aspect, look, as long as I'm having fun, and I got coaches, staff that enjoys what they're doing, and I'm enjoying what we're doing, and we got girls in here that want to work hard and play hard and do the right thing, then yeah, I'm sticking this thing out. So I don't see myself changing. I don't really try to look towards the future that often, just like kind of we talk about game by game management. So I'm But as sit right now, I love what's going on right here, and I'm going to do this as long as I'm having fun.
Coach, we wish you the best of luck the rest of the way this season and into future seasons as well. And thanks for taking some time with us here on Catholic Sports View.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Craig DeBusk, the head coach at Santa Margarita High School. More on Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Stay with us.
Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company Travel of Orange to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Oh, Jesus, I want to tell all little souls how indescribable is your love.
Meet Saint Therese, the little flower, in a live performance that speaks to all ages.
I will send down a shower of roses.
Experience Therese, the story of a soul, a powerful live production.
See it at Christ Cathedral's Fried Theater in Garden Grove, 3 performances only. January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Visit ccdramaseries.com for tickets and information. That's ccdramaseries.com.
Oh.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1-acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Back to Catholic Sports View. We're out here at Santa Margarita High School and focusing on the girls' basketball program. Bella Maramica is our guest right now. And Bella, I want to start by asking you about this season and how everything's going for the team right now.
Well, we're off to a pretty good start. I mean, we're 1-2 right now in season. And honestly, I think that we're starting to improve a lot more with how we're playing the team ball. And I see good things for us in the future, especially with CIF. And we're also 15-6. That's our total record, too. So that's actually one of our best records we've had so far. So I think we're off to a pretty good start.
You guys play in the Trinity League, and I'll ask you a little bit more about the Trinity in a second. But you know going in, it's a tough league,
yeah.
Obviously. Is it important to have a tough non-league schedule to prepare you for that even tougher league schedule?
For sure. I mean, it's really good having those tough opponents early on in the season so we can see definitely what we need to work on. And I think that's really what we had. You know, early on in the season, we played tough opponents and we really got to see what we were lacking and what we needed to improve on if we wanted to have a chance in the Trinity League in order to play our best game possible.
Early on in the season is always tournament time. You know, there's always those tournaments right around the holidays, and it's quick turnaround. It's game after game after game. What did you guys learn about this team when you're that close? You spend that much time with your teammates. What did you learn about this year's team?
Well, honestly, we had a lot of trips. Like Las Vegas was one of our best trips that we had in my experience in the past 4 years. And we really got a bond with each other. You know, we got to experience the highs and lows of tournament play. And, you know, after we would have a tough loss, we would just come back together and really act as a team and communicate really well and figure out what we need to work on. And I honestly think that's how our communication has actually improved, especially with the trips like Vegas and all the tournaments and back-to-back games that we had.
As a senior on this team, do you take on that leadership role? Is that something that you like to do? And what is your style? Are you more vocal or are you kind of lead by example?
Well, now that I'm a senior, I really have to step up as a leader, and I can't really expect my teammates to play well if I don't play well myself. So I really like to communicate with them, but I also understand that I need to do my part if I want the rest of the team to do their part as well. So it's kind of a team effort, and I feel like I need to, along with my fellow team captains, Tori and Morgan, we all three have a responsibility to lead our team if we want to do successful in the Trinity League as well as CIF.
Bella Marmica is our guest right now as we're out at Santa Margarita High School focusing on the girls' basketball program out here this week on Catholic Sports View. You know, you mentioned leadership. Can you remember back to when you were a freshman and how the maybe the senior girls led then and led by example? And then do you sort of lean on that experience to now when you trade places now you're the upperclassman? Is it important to teach the young girls, you know, what it's like to come here and be a part of this program?
Yeah, well, I remember when I was a freshman, I didn't really know what was going on, and I definitely looked up to our senior team captain, and I definitely wanted to be just like her because she was really setting the example for us, and she would always play insanely hard, and I could tell that her energy would trickle down to the rest of the bench and to the rest of the team, and that's why now that I'm a senior and I'm a team captain, I know it's my duty to do what she did for me as a freshman and to do that to our lower classmen and to kind of set an example for them and give them a lot of energy.
Yeah, how much is the faith aspect? Obviously, it's a Catholic school. How much does that aspect go into leadership and go into maybe the bond of the team as well?
Well, we all treat each other with respect, and we know Trinity League is a very competitive league, but in the end, we're all children of God and we're all respecting each other. And, you know, we all have sportsmanship and we don't want to show anyone disrespect. That's definitely a key thing is we really love to focus on sportsmanship.
You mentioned the Trinity and we'll get to that now. It would be hard for any other team in the Trinity not to compare themselves to modern day. I suppose that's the standard for what they've done over the past several years. Is that the team everybody kind of looks toward? Maybe not officially, but you're always trying to say, hey, what can we do to get modern day?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we look at all the teams like that. You know, everyone wants to beat each other and, you know, the competition is really intense here. And Modern Day is definitely one of the teams up there. They haven't really been defeated in a while. But, I mean, we can see that other teams are starting to improve a lot more, and it's not just focused on Modern Day. And, you know, every single team in this league is a really good competitor, and it's not all the focus is on Modern Day anymore.
Yeah, I think that's what's great about the Trinity. Rosary's got a great program. Jay Sarah's got a good up-and-coming program. So when you look at it, it's tough competition, you know, every night.
Yeah. And, you know, every night when you come to play a game, you really need to have your focus and your mentality. If you're not focused and 100% into the game, then that other team is going to be able to crack down on you. And, you know, then you're definitely going to pay for that. So that's why, you know, as a team, we definitely make sure that we have focus and we really need to work a lot more on bringing energy out right from the get-go, right in the beginning of the game, because that's how you're going to be successful in the Trinity League.
Obviously, you don't want to look too far ahead. You know, the coach does a pretty good job of keeping you guys not doing that, I imagine. But playoffs, a chance to play for a CIF title, those kind of things are obviously things that are goals, I would imagine, for the future.
Yeah. We're definitely we definitely set goals on winning CIF. And, you know, everything that we're doing every single night that we play a game, we think of that as preparation for our run in CIF. And we definitely think about the future and how every single game that we're playing is helping us come together more and more as a team and is going to help us become more stronger and more focused on the goals that we have in the future, which is ultimately a CIF victory.
How about your future goals? You know, your 4 years is coming to a close here at Santa Margarita. What do you want to do? Do you have a college picked out? Do you want to keep playing basketball?
Well, I'm currently committed to Claremont McKenna, so that's where I'm going to be studying biochemistry, and I'm also recruited there to play on their basketball team. So I'll be continuing my basketball career for another 4 years, which I'm actually very excited about.
Well, I want to wish you the best of luck, and thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The
Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Oh Jesus, I want to tell all little souls how indescribable is your love.
Meet Saint Therese, the Little Flower, in a live performance that speaks to all ages.
I will send down a shower of roses.
Experience Therese, the Story of a Soul, a powerful live production.
See it at Christ Cathedral's Fried Theater in Garden Grove. Three performances only. January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Visit ccdramaseries.com for tickets and information. That's ccdramaseries.com.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission of your Catholic Man of the Year nominees is rapidly approaching on March 1st. As a nominee from my parish, I can honestly say that at first I was reluctant to accept such an honor because, of course, my purpose in supporting the parish through the ministry was not to receive personal credit. But you know, I could not have been more mistaken in my initial reaction. The event in 2016 was an exciting and thoroughly affirming celebration of the Catholic lay ministry. It was so inspiring to see other men and their deep love of the church, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st, and all nominees will be recognized at the dinner. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's www.occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson. Joining us is Celine Rigo. She's the head water polo coach at G. Sarah High School. Coach, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us.
Okay. Hi. Good morning, Will. Thank you for the call.
Let's talk about your background a little bit to begin with. What first brought you to the sport of water polo? What attracted you to getting in the pool? And how did you start your career?
My father was a soccer player in Spain, and my mother was a swimmer. So from very little, my brothers and myself, we learned to swim. I did ballet many years, but then my father wanted me to play soccer, which we discovered I did not know how to run. So that actually led me more to do more water sports. And I was doing my swimming practice one time, and as soon as we were finishing, the water polo team was entering, and I was almost 13 at the time. And I just stayed there to watch the practice, and I thought, this is actually something that I can combine, mommy and daddy. So, and that was the main attraction, was just I could put together both of my parents in one sport that I can actually play. So, and that's how more or less it started.
Was it a popular sport? Were other kids, around you? Were your friends, taking interest in it as well?
Well, that's the thing. In the time that I started, I was born in Venezuela, and I was raised between Venezuela and Spain. So in Venezuela, wasn't really a popular sport, and we didn't have even youth teams. Teams would be 18 and over. So for me, it was more the attraction of, okay, it's so interesting. There was maybe two more girls that were like 16 years old in the team, who were predominant male players in the team. So the beginnings was quite rough, actually. We didn't really have a team for a long, long time, so it was mainly practicing and trying to learn the basic skills of the sport. And then we actually really started a campaign to attract more girls to the sport.
You mentioned you were not a very good runner, but were you a natural when it came to swimming?
Yes, I was actually a quite fast swimmer. And we learned to swim, I think, before we learned to walk, thanks to my mother. So. But running is just because I was in ballet from very little age. I started ballet when I was 3. the way that you are training your muscles in ballet, you run in a completely different way that you will run for soccer. So I was very, very bad at running for soccer.
As you got older, did you realize this was something you were really good at and you were going to be able to reach some really high goals?
Yeah, I actually, at age 13, the coach of the national team told my parents that he wanted me to be in the national team as an invited trainee. And I started training with the national team of Venezuela when I was 13. Then it was very, very obvious for me. I just loved the sport. I was very much in love with it. At that age, absolutely in love with what I do.
Yeah, to give us a little bit more about what you did the rest of your playing career. I mean, you got to play it on some very high levels.
Yes. I was the captain for the Venezuelan national team for 14 years.
Right.
I'm the only Latin American that has reached the world ranking of number 8 in the world. We managed to get our team, the Venezuelan team, participated in 3 different world championships. Nothing has happened again, unfortunately, in that level for that area. And I played professionally in Europe for many years. And once I was already in Europe playing as a professional is when I started my coaching career. And I started coaching. I'm the only female to the day that has coached a men's professional team in Spain and Germany. So
wow.
That's something very important to me. Very, very hard work. So in terms of as an athlete, the one thing that I missed was qualifying to the Olympic Games. Unfortunately, women's water polo only became official in the Olympics on Sydney 2000. And by the time that we actually got together, the team, like, okay, we could maybe this year qualify for the Olympics, I was about to retire already. So that's the one thing that I missed. But I reached the highest levels with my team, and I was very lucky. I also had a very, very good team. We were all very hard workers. And the only reason why I achieved what I achieved is because I had a lot of people supporting that achievement. So
yeah. At what point did you decide maybe coaching was the next step for you?
I was around my 20s, and the club that I was playing for in Spain, they had a small group of kids. Nobody really wanted to coach them. So I thought, okay, I will coach them. And I started coaching kids. They were 13 years old, 12 years old. And I found an incredible fascination and reward when you are able to transmit information, especially in those ages that they are so pure and they are absorbing everything, to pass on the information and see their development. And that was the trigger. Like, okay, this is something that I will certainly develop.
Were you aware of the level of water polo in the United States? I mean, was that a natural step now, or was there another reason you decided to come to the U.S.?
No, the main reason why I decided to come to the U.S. is because for the last 14 years of my career, I've been coaching professional teams in Europe, and it is a completely different dynamics and level of coaching. For me, it started to become more like a job rather than the passion that I have for the sport. So I convinced my husband that I really needed to go back to my roots of, like, coaching young people, that it requires a more passionate and caring kind of coaching. And he agreed to let me follow back to my roots. In Europe, coaching youth levels, we don't have a competitive level on youth. So it's either professional or recreational. Here in the U.S., you have the advantage that you have many different levels to it. You have recreational, you have competitive, you have non-competitive, high school level, college level. So for me, it was a much more richer, broad of possibilities.
Right. We're visiting with Celine Rigo, the girls' water polo coach at J. Sarah High School. So you come to the United States. Do you have a job right away, or are you searching for something? What is the goal here when you come to the U.S.?
Well, before coming to the U.S., we went to Canada, to Toronto. I'm a very good friends with George Gross, which is the head coach of the Toronto University. He offered me a job in there. That's why we went to Toronto. And we were there for 14 months. I was working with him with the Toronto University. And he actually told me that it would be much better for what I was looking for to come to the U.S. So I started looking for jobs in here. And I came first to a club in Northern California that they brought me here. So I came with a job already. If not, I'm not that free spirit. If I didn't have a job, I would have not come. I came down to Southern California, to Orange County, to work for a club called Orange County Water Polo. And I've been here ever since.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be 2 years now.
What is the level of water polo here, you know, compared to Europe and other areas? What is the level of what the girls know about the game and how good they are here?
It's very different perception of water polo. For example, in Europe, we pay far more attention into a strategy, and we see the game more as a chess board where you have planned gameplays. The U.S. has an advantage that during the development ages, which is in high school, they actually acquire a lot of physical skills. So the American game in female water polo is very fast, is depends a lot more on the physical capacities rather than in the strategy planning, which means that, you know, they are Olympic champions back-to-back, London and Rio, not for free. They have an incredible development as athletes. So it's a bit different. I do think that in terms of level, when you see the level on national team, they have a very, very high level. And they use very well their abilities. As I explained, they develop athletes in a physical manner that is quite impressive. In the high school setting, in development ages, I think that because the focus is more into the physical development rather than the intellectual development of the game, I think that compared to Europe, they could actually absorb a little bit more of the strategical game in Europe, and that will make it just like another level of water polo, I think.
Huh. Our final couple of minutes here with Celine Rigo, the girls' water polo coach at J. Sarah. So you end up at J. Sarah, a school that's still a newer school, you know, to about 10 years old. I have to imagine the facilities and the group of athletes to pull from in South Orange County is what led you to the job.
Yeah, well, I was very, very attractive to J. Sarah, especially because they do, being such a young school, it does allow coaches with my mentality and my background to create. And that was what I was craving so much. It was the creation of something solid. And it is a very, very lovely community in this school. It's just very welcoming. They have hunger for new things, which makes it even more enjoyable, the creation process. So, and it's so great located for any sports, really, here in Southern California. The installations here, the pool facilities, the gym is just stunning. It's new. It has that smell of fresh.
Right. And your team so far? What do you feel about not only what they're doing this year, but the way you see the girls progressing here throughout the future?
Well, I think that JSR is going to be a talking point maybe in 2 years. Right now, we are in the creation stage. So unfortunately, this year, we have half of our team is senior. But we do have, this year is a very small team. We have 13 players. But it's a very, very much dedicated group. It's enjoyable. It's been a fantastic experience for me to coach with these girls. They have this hunger for learning, and they are very much committed to what they are doing in all aspects of their lives, of course. You also have to remember that this is a highly academic school as well. So the demands on the academic side are really high, and they put the same passion and effort in their athletic lives. It is a blessing, nevertheless, to have that amount of character and energy. We all have to learn to support and take care of each other regularly. And that, which is for me, is always being seen as very difficult, particularly with girls in the high school ages. It has been the easiest part of my job so far.
That's
so
great.
I cannot complain.
Yeah. Well, Coach, we want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports U. Good luck, and we'll be watching the team as they head towards what's a tough, obviously, Trinity League, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much, Bob.
I want to thank all my guests this week, and if you want to catch a replay of this show or any other shows here on Catholic Sports View, just log on to occatholic.com/radio. We have all our shows archived right there on the page. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.